Thank you, Dr. Dannenberg. Once again, my name is Aja Bonner. Good afternoon, everyone. So I'll be talking about, from the federal government's perspective, how we can incorporate, and from CDC's perspective, how we can incorporate health outcomes in the environmental impact assessment process, formally regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency. Okay, so as a quick overview of the presentation, some of the points that I will be touching on, we'll look at how we have an opportunity to integrate public health into environmental policy with health impact assessments. And I'll spend some time giving like a little bit of background on the NEPA regulation, National Environmental Policy Act of 1969 legislation. And I'll talk about CDC's role as a commenting agency and give an overview of that process in general as a commenting agency. Then I'll get into sort of the nuts and bolts of the evaluation report, talk about the background and the methods I use, the results, and then conclude with some recommendations. And I think Dr. Warnham did obviously a great job of sort of setting up the importance and opportunity with health impact assessments. And certainly as it relates to NEPA and CDC's role as a commenting agency, it's another way that we can insert health into the conversation and have that be a part of the federal decision-making process, which, you know, has a broad range of impacts in diverse sectors, as Dr. Warnham alluded to. Oh, that would be backwards, and this would be forward. Okay. So NEPA, again, the National Environmental Policy Act, passed in 1969, governs all federal executive branch departments and agencies, and really asks that there's a systematic way of looking at environmental consequences to federal activities. And these activities can include contracts, loans, policies, regulations, a whole gamut of things, again, an array of different sectors. And so when you undergo this process of environmentally assessing potential consequences, you have to lay out environmental consequences and also propose alternatives to that action, and then talk about mitigating measures that you would insert into the action to reduce environmental impacts. And this process is meant to be transparent at each stage of your drafting, so to speak. You have to put it out to the public and have select agencies comment on those assessments. And so I keep going back. So when you look at the actual legislation, NEPA legislation, there's huge implications for health. Obviously, NEPA is an environmentally focused policy. That's the ultimate aim. But in the legislation itself, it makes several references to the protection of human health and promotion of safety. And so, in fact, even the legislators that were huge proponents of the legislation back in 1969 made the comment that, you know, policy for the environment is really policy for people, and you can't separate people from health. And so we see in subsequent federal actions, federal orders, Executive Order 12898, which is for environmental justice, as well as Executive Order 13045, which both look at protecting vulnerable populations, the low-income populations, minority populations, and children. Again, there's this emphasis on the protection of their health, human health. And so I have a nice little quote here from Dr. Warnham and his co-author, Dr. Bhatia, that talk about the wide range of opportunity with environmental impact assessments and how it really has a national impact, national implications for communities all over. Really? I am going to get this down, I promise, before the end of this presentation. Okay, so now I want to briefly go over CDC's role as a commenting agency, and then again talk about sort of the overall process for reviewing and commenting environmental assessments. So as a part of the Department of Health and Human Services, CDC was delegated the responsibility to oversee serve as a commenting agency for the NEPA requirement. And so what the legislation says is that wherever health effects are possible, HHS has that responsibility to comment on that federal action. And as I said, HHS then delegated that responsibility to CDC in 1978. And so now the National Center for Environmental Health, which is where Dr. Dannenberg works and where I conducted this evaluation through, they fulfill that mandate. And they oversee the process for reviewing and commenting on all these environmental assessments, and they have sign-off authority on that. And so what they've done so far is developed a form letter to respond to various projects where they sort of lay out the various areas of health impacts that are possible. So everything ranging from air quality to noise pollution to exposure to hazardous waste and other types of waste, land use issues, housing issues. So those are the health impact areas that we encourage lead agencies to consider as they advance their project. Unfortunately, like with many things in government, this is a mandate that came unfunded. So there are not a whole lot of resources behind that. And that means that our ability to sort of systematically review all of the environmental assessments that come in has been hampered. And so we have at this time, or HCDI has, less than one full-time staff person overseeing this. And just to put that into context, there's about anywhere from 200,000 to 500,000 environmental assessments that come through each year. So obviously our capacity to respond to these and provide meaningful, effective comments, you know, our capacity is far exceeded by the demand. So that is definitely a challenge. But let's talk a little bit about the actual NEPA process itself. So when a federal action is initiated, the initiating agency or sponsoring agency has to determine whether it can be categorically excluded or not. And if it's not categorically excluded, then an environmental assessment has to be drafted. And what that does is it basically lays out the scope of the action, describes the need for this action, and then again talks about alternatives to the action, as well as, you know, mitigation measures that can be incorporated. And so from there, after that environmental assessment, and this document can be like 300 pages thick, and, you know, very dense with all sorts of quantitative data and analysis, and just, it's not an easy read, I'll just be honest. So you can have that environmental assessment. Once that's released, then it can be put out for public review and commenting agency review, and then from there they go through a process of trying to determine whether there needs to be an actual environmental impact statement. And that's where the lead agency will sort of narrow down what alternatives they're going to select for that action. Or, you know, also obviously if it's not categorically excluded or if they determine that there aren't going to be any impacts from this project, they'll call it a FONSI, finding of no significant impact. I did it. Okay. And so this graphic sort of expands on the last, showing the different stages of documentation that has to be completed. It starts out as an environmental assessment, and so they put forth a notice of intent to do this particular action. And from there, they go on to, they, meaning the lead agency, will go on and draft an environmental impact statement, then publish a final impact statement, and then complete a record of decision. And in between each of those stages, there's a commenting period. And actually, this didn't get added to the slide, and I apologize, but there's one more comment period at the bottom between the final and the record of decision of 30 days. So that's the time for the public to read about this proposed action and for commenting agencies to read and provide comments. And it's usually published in the Federal Register to announce it. So now let's talk about the actual study and the impact of CDC's comments for projects that took place in 2002, 2004, 2006, and 2008. So the purpose of this study was to evaluate the extent to which comments provided by CDC influence health analysis and environmental impact assessments. Again, CDC has this mandated role to respond to these projects, and we wanted to see if our comments were actually really having an impact and increasing the amount of health analysis being conducted. And when I say health analysis, it's not just nominal references to health, but meaningful examinations of what the health impacts will be. So using population data, getting baseline data, and trying to assess how that action is going to influence health outcomes down the line. And so the indicators that we looked at include the number of health references mentioned in a given environmental assessment, the context in which health was referred to. So again, not just saying, we want to protect health and safety, but saying, we got this data, this is sort of the issues going on in this community, this is how health is being impacted, this is how we want to address it, et cetera. And then also we looked at whether the comment letters put forth by the CDC were actually included in their documentation, their NEPA documentation. And so some of the inputs that I considered for this were whether CDC's comments were submitted in a timely fashion and whether they were specific. Again, we talked about the challenges in our office, our HCDI. I'm still a part of it. I'm still connected. So that some of the challenges there in responding to the sheer demand of all of those assessments. And so I'm looking at our ability to sort of still be effective. The method, so I looked at 10 projects. Again, a total project, you know, from start to finish could be like 1,200 pages, you know, with each stage of the environmental assessment. So I was only able to look at 10, and it was basically a convenient sample of what documents I had access to and what comment letters I had access to and could sort of match it along the way. And basically what it was a comparison of the base document and how many health references were made versus after the CDC submitted their comments, how did they talk about health then going forward. And so again, the way that I sort of looked at the indicators, the number of health references, if I had a PDF, I would do just like a keyword search to see how many times health or safety came up. Unfortunately, most of the time I didn't have a PDF, so it was a manual comb through of those pages. Again, it's not a good read. But I did it, and yeah. And so in looking at that too, I again tried to look at how they referred to health, if it was meaningful or not. Then I tried to track the CDC comments that were put forth and categorize them in various ways. So, you know, whether the comment letter we gave them was really generic and, you know, just cut and paste of our form letter, or if it really was specific, targeted to a particular element in the project, saying you really need to revisit this issue or examine this further. So that's sort of how I grouped it. And then, again, also looked at the specificity and the timeline of our submission of the comments. And so this is a bit of an eye chart here, but this is my methods process. So I was sort of looking ahead at the looking ahead at each environmental assessment at the various levels of analysis, and then also sort of looking back at the comments to compare, you know, how did health references change between our comments. And then this is sort of all the data that I collected along the way. But again, I just really focused on 2 minutes. I really just focused on time and specificity. So let's try to do this. These are all 10 projects. Some key things to note about this. We have 4 transportation projects. They were sort of the most apt and responsive to calls for health inclusion and health analysis. 3 of these projects didn't include our comment letter at all, which that's really important because including the comment letter is like another opportunity for that lead project to talk more about health. And so if the comment letter wasn't included, more than likely they didn't make very many health references. So, and you see that those 3 that didn't include it, they have the lowest numbers of health references. Our winner for this, Big Stone, the 3rd from the top, they had the most health references, but like was the case with most, they were all nominal in nature and just, you know, health is great. We're going to protect the health of our workers, you know, on this plant project or whatever. But really the superstar was the 2nd from the top, Cortland County in New York. They not only referred to health and included our comment letter, but agreed to some of the recommendations that we made, which in this case was to partner with the local health department to do additional water contamination testing for their work as they were trying to expand a roadway. So that's sort of what we're getting at. We're trying to engage various health agencies in this work to provide data to these lead agencies that don't have that health expertise. So that they can make health be a part of their decision making. So, can I keep going? You think?
Go.
Okay, this is the last sort of shebang point. So this is looking at what our comments did. Actually, I have a really nice, concise way to say this if I can find it. And I can't. So basically, the first 2x2 table, or the 2x2 table on the top, shows, you know, the impact of sending our comments on time versus getting our comments actually included. And so intuitively, of course, the more we're able to get our comments included on time, the more likely they're going to include our comments in the comment letter and then talk about health. And then the second 2x2 table looks at the specificity of our comments versus whether our comments got included. And of all the comments that were sent on time and also specific, they all got included. Whereas, you know, if you weren't really specific and you weren't on time, there was a good chance that your, or not a good chance, but there was a chance that your comments wouldn't get incorporated. So all our efforts were sort of in vain with that one sole staff person. And so I will conclude at this point by saying, looking ahead, we're trying to leverage our resources, partner with the EPA, which is, I think, the next presentation. And so that'll show you how we're trying to leverage our resources and do a better job and be more effective in our commenting. So thank you.
Thank you, Asia. I can't resist saying the range of proposals or draft EISs that we get is really rather fascinating. It's everything from, you know, build a highway bridge or something, but it's things like where should new prisons be built for illegal immigrants? Where should the Plum Island veterinary select agent facility be built? We received one on Yucca Mountain and EIS issues there. We got one on the CAFE standards, fuel efficiency standards. And as you heard, we receive enormous numbers of these and with very little staffing, so we sort of pick and choose which of those we can say something on. But it's been an interesting process, but we're nowhere near the staffing it would take to actually respond to the large numbers that come through.